3:32 back with you here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Thank you very much for joining us. As always, we do appreciate it. We got Iowa State and Utah coming up tonight for you right here on 1600 ESPN and Big 12 play. We got Iowa and Nebraska down the road at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We thought we were going to talk a lot about basketball, and we will, but we got to start with football with our next guest. David Eicholt covers the Hawkeyes, the Iowa Insider for 24/7 Sports. And give him a follow on X or Twitter, whichever you prefer, at David Eicholt. And I hope they have an expanding or a bigger room for the quarterbacks in Iowa City coming up in the spring, because there is another one that is going to be in the fray for the Iowa football team in 2025, it sounds like.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me. What good timing, too.
Yes. So
I don't know if you guys had a tip-off about this, but as of about 5 minutes ago, our own 24/7 Sports' Matt Zenitz has reported that Iowa is expected to land South Dakota State transfer quarterback Mark Gronowski, two-time FCS champion, two-time winner, which is basically the equivalent to the Heisman at the FCS ranks, 130 career touchdowns, over 10,000 yards. Massive is probably an understatement, guys. I know it's quite a leap from South Dakota State to Iowa football, but I think this is the positivity that the football program needed, and I think Iowa athletics as a whole. So this is very, very exciting news, and I think there's a whole new feeling heading into this offseason.
Well, David, what does that say to Brendan Sullivan and Hank Brown, among others?
Yeah, I think it says more to Brendan Sullivan than Hank Brown, because Hank Brown has 3 years of eligibility. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for Brendan Sullivan. I think he's a pretty decent player. I think he cares a lot. I think he works very hard. But with him only having 1 year of eligibility right now, I have a hard time seeing him stay past maybe the spring. I mean, you got to think about it from his standpoint. I know before the bowl game, he said, you know, I'm a competitor. I'm going to stay at Iowa. I'm going to compete for whatever happens. I'm going to stay the course. But you have to think about it going into his final year. He's going to want guaranteed playing time. And when you have the accolades that Mark Gronowski has, and probably a lot of investment that the staff and the NIL is going to make, I think it's going to be tough for him to kind of stay put at Iowa. If he does, big credit to him. I'm sure Iowa would love him to stay. But I don't think there's one person on the planet that could blame him for looking elsewhere.
Do you foresee just possibly one? Could it be more than one quarterback seeking the transfer portal, perhaps?
I mean, the only other guy I think right now that really looks at, I would say, is maybe Jackson Stratton, but that just depends on the scholarship situation. Like, I have a tough time believing right now that Iowa is going to give him a scholarship. But, you know, maybe they want to reward him for stepping up when it mattered most. But, again, I think right now the quarterback race is 100% settled. It's going to be Mark Gronowski. If Jackson Sullivan decides to wait, continue learning the system, and take his shot following Gronowski, I think that's certainly possible. But again, I think all sources indicate that things are pretty much, for the most part, going to stay stable. And if you really think about it, this is a totally new quarterback room compared to last spring. There's not one quarterback on this roster that was here last spring to this spring. So Tim Lester is clearing out this room. He's making it his own. Now I think we can begin to judge the quarterback room.
Is Iowa done on the portal, David, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I still think they're going to be after a couple different quarterbacks, wide receivers, a couple other defensive players as well. I know they're still waiting on a transfer from Chattanooga receiver Sam Phillips. I know they're waiting to see about a couple other potential prospects, and I think they're really going to look hard in that spring portal, because now you have that go-to quarterback. Now the offense looks a lot more attractive as wide receivers enter the portal during that second session, which opens, I believe, April 16th, and is only going to stay open for 10 days. But no, I think Iowa is going to continue to do their due diligence. I think they look at the offensive tackle transfer from Montana State, Charlie Moore, who just entered the transfer portal after their close loss yesterday. I know they'd love to land another tackle if possible, but he is going to be a very, very well-sought-after prospect, a two-time first-team All-FCS. He's going to be heavily sought after. Ohio State probably would make a run at him, but I think they're filled up at tackle. I think Oregon is as well. I'm going to be very interested to see some of the other prospects for maybe a guy of his caliber. But I certainly expect Iowa would make a run at him as well.
Yeah. Before we leave the portal, I'm with you. I thought one place Iowa would be really scratching after would be on the offensive line. You mentioned a tackle, perhaps the best one out there from Montana State. Do you see Iowa maybe getting one, perhaps two, at least going after guys on that offensive line?
You know, I think they really are settled on one, just trying to get an offensive tackle, because I think the offense looks pretty, offensive line looks pretty solid going into next year. I mean, you think about them getting Logan Jones back is absolutely massive. I mean, you're talking about first team, all Big Ten guy. I think Jennings Dunker is going to emerge as a potential early day two pick. I expect very, very big things out of him, a potential All-American caliber season. I do think Trevor Lauk is capable of stepping up at that left tackle spot, because I think they keep Jennings at that right spot. But again, I think if you can go get a well-known commodity, if they're interested in going to the University of Iowa, I think they certainly have to make a run at that. And I think they're feeling pretty okay about offensive guard. I think Cade Pieper is going to step up. And I think there's going to be a lot of stability in that room. So maybe they'll surprise me. They'll go after a couple different prospects, but I don't expect that at this point.
I would have fortified the defensive line. What do you know about the two guys coming in?
Yeah, very, very big. I think the one position that they really needed to attack was that defensive tackle spot. And that's no disrespect to the guys on the roster. Obviously, getting Aaron Graves back was absolutely massive. And I do think there are a couple rotational guys that could potentially step up. But getting Jonah Pace is a very nice, maybe rotational sort of guy. I know that they really like Jeremiah Pittman. He's had great flashes in practice and in games. A little bit on the shorter side, about 6 feet tall, but he's about 315 pounds. A total mauler, can be a gap stopper from that degree as well. But then you also look at, you know, the South Dakota State defensive tackle who's going in there. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. He was a first team all FCS All-American there as well. So Iowa doing their due diligence. He was on campus with Gronowski this past weekend. I still would absolutely love for Iowa to maybe get another defensive end. I love Brian Allen, but he's going to miss spring. Max Llewellyn has high potential, but I'm also very curious to see how true freshman Yose Epinesa steps up, because I think in some ways he's more advanced than his brother AJ was as a true freshman. I fully expect him to be in the rotation. I don't want to say he has a higher ceiling, but you're talking about a guy that I think could absolutely be a first round draft pick here when we're talking 3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah. David Eicholt joining us 3:40 here on a Tuesday on the Gym Class and 1600 ESPN. Final thoughts after the Music City Bowl. Obviously, 10-point lead evaporated in the fourth quarter. Tough loss to Missouri. What did you take from the game?
I think it's a disappointing season. I mean, I told you guys, I said before the season that if Iowa didn't make at least be in contention for the playoffs, I think it's a disappointment, and I think there's no doubt that it is. But I do think you can take a couple good things away from this. One, Tim Lester was the right guy for the job. I mean, to do what he did with the running schemes and sort of the consistency, I thought was spectacular. Now, I think from a play-calling perspective, there are times where he would absolutely, you know, love to get some stuff back. Obviously, Iowa losing three games this season when they led by 10 or more, that's problematic as well. And I think that's going to be one of the big themes that they address. But I think moving along the passing game is going to be that next step. But the other side of it, too, is what about this defense? I think this is the first year in some time where I think about the defense and I don't know what to expect. I trust Phil Parker. I don't think the cornerbacks are quite ready yet. I think Cohen Entringer could have a huge year stepping up, but losing all three of those linebackers. The defense was still very good, but it wasn't up to the standard of a Phil Parker defense. So I think that's probably one of the more disappointing aspects about this season, and that's what's going to make it a what-if season. But again, I think that they're going to reevaluate things in the offseason, especially on the offensive end, the passing game, how they can avoid losing those double-digit leads. Because before they lost three games this season, guys, they were 74-2 when they led by eight or more at any point since the start of 2015, and they lost three this year. Obviously cannot have that continue going into next year and with that schedule, because I'll tell you, I know you guys know it, that schedule next year, it ain't easy. This ain't the Big Ten West anymore. They have three playoff teams at Kinnick Stadium next year, and it's not going to get any easier. They go on the road to Wisconsin. They go to Nebraska. Mark Gronowski, he's got a huge opportunity. He put some good tape on his NFL film for the next season.
David, it was a feel-good weekend for Iowa women's basketball. Saved the game, and despite the comeback, where is this team right now, the Iowa women, that play in a very difficult league?
You know, I still think they're a top 25 team in the country, guys. I was very impressed with that comeback because they were down by 24 in that second half. They had every single reason to quit, right? And they did not. Obviously, they were honoring Lisa Bluter, all-time great coach. But I think you can take some moral victories away from that. Number one, it's obvious, it's still Maryland. Like, the Maryland's back to what Maryland is. Lucy Olsen struggled. Hannah Stolke, I fully expect to have a strong comeback. I think that was among her worst games of her career. We know what she's capable of doing. I think she's going to do it. But to put a positive spin on it, I think you need to look at what the freshmen were able to accomplish. Aaliyah Guyton needs more minutes. Yeah. I think she's been spectacular. And to do that off a torn ACL her senior year of high school, and for her to make the impact that she has, she's one of the best shooters on the basketball team. And she's very crafty. She can get to the rim. Really like her expectation. I love the freshmen. At times I think they're going in there and they're doing some other things better than the seniors. Kylie Fearbach's not shooting the ball well, but I do think her defense was very key into that comeback that they had because they did get down to two possessions. So, again, you don't want to make it too much about too much moral victories, but I still think you leave that game feeling pretty encouraged, at least by the way they played over the last 17 minutes. I still think it's going to be a really good basketball team by the end of the year.
Yeah, and Milani is also going to get nothing but better.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I love the freshman class. You look at who's coming in next year. As I said, I don't know if Iowa's going to be a top 10 team next year, top 15 team, but they've made their mark on the in the national scheme of things. Like, they are going to be a program that competes for the foreseeable future under Jan Jensen. And I think most importantly, really like Jan Jensen's comments after the game, because she took full accountability about some of her rotation patterns, some of the stuff that was being called late. I know people say, you know, she's been with this program for so long, learned under Lisa Bluter for so long. This is a new role for her. And I think that's going to be a game that really teaches her about what it takes to beat some of those top teams and to do some of those different things. So I left very encouraged about it. We're going to see how they bounce back, obviously.
Yeah. Moving on to the men tonight, how big a week is this for the Iowa men's basketball team? Coming off, I don't even think they want to even look at the tape after Friday night in Madison, but two games, quad one games this week, these are big.
I think it decides the season. I know we're only in the middle of the season, but they just looked, that was as defeated of a Frey McCaffrey team as I've seen, not just by scoreboard, but just by all-around effort. Like, it just did not look like them, right? The defensive rotations were obvious. Wisconsin was hitting everything. You have to give them credit for hitting stuff, but Iowa made it pretty easy for them to get open shots. And we've seen this team this season play some really good defense down the stretch of games. We've seen them make big comebacks. So I was kind of waiting for Iowa to make that big comeback, or at least to, you know, push back a little bit and do something. They never did that. I'm not saying they need to go 2-0 this week, but, man, they need to win at least one. And, man, they better look competitive in the other, because I still think there's a lot of talent on this team. But I just don't know. I cannot remember the last time I've watched a college basketball game end in regulation. The team scores 85 points. Any team scores 85 points. They lost by 31. That just does not happen in college basketball. So I really am very curious to see how they bounce back tonight. How are the first 5 minutes going to go? If they punch first, are they looking to do a 3 or 4 hit combo, or just punch first and run away? I think it's a very, very big moral, like just a test of their moral right now and where they're going to be at for the foreseeable future. This is going to be a huge game tonight.
I had one more question about football, David, and that had to do with a guy who won an award today, Caden Wiesen. He obviously helped his football team in many ways. And is he more than 98% coming back?
Yeah, Caden Wiesen is going to come back, and I'll tell you, he's going to come back on a scholarship. There's no way he can do what he's been doing and not get a scholarship. He's going to be on scholarship. That's not been officially announced yet, but I think everybody kind of knows it at this point. And I'll tell you, I think he's going to be a guy that they need to game plan the offense a little bit more around. I love his short area quickness. I think he can catch the ball. I think he's a little bit more of a variety weapon. I think T.J. Washington's going to be in that same category next season as well. I don't think the offense is going to look similar next year in certain regards. But for Kane Wiegen to win the Jet Award, I think it was incredibly well-deserved. I thought he had it locked up before the bowl game, and I'm sure voting and everything was done way before then. But I think he solidified it with the way that huge return that he had. So really cool to see, you know, a smaller town Iowa guy get that big of a recognition. But I think he's going to be a very undervalued returnee for next football season.
Yeah, and well, he did get in the offensive scheme quite a bit down in Nashville. Being down there and seeing that, it was good to see. And I think you are right on with Washington stepping up, and I think we're going to see a few other guys maybe step up next year too. They're going to have to step up in the wide receiver department if Iowa doesn't get anybody in the portal.
I still like the potential of the wide receiver room. I mean, again, I think that they're going to have a variety of quarterbacks that can help push the passing game along in the spring. I love Dayton Howard from a physicality standpoint. You know, 6'4", can run really fast. I think he has good hands. Route running needs to improve. Jarrett Bowie had a couple of big catches. It's almost like we forgot about Reese Vanderzee, too. Like, Reese Vanderzee had a huge first month of the season. Obviously got hurt. Had some freshman moments as well. But John Budmeyer, I think this is a big test for him, because I do think that Iowa has potential to make substantial gains in the offseason and to be able to make productive Saturdays. But the other side of it, too, just for Budmeyer and Tim Lester, if you want to attract transfer portal prospects next season, this is the year you got to flip the script. You put all of this into Mark Gronowski, a proven quarterback who can make things happen, right? I've always said proven production gives you proven playmakers in the portal. Iowa has to get out of the hundreds in terms of the passing offense. They have to take substantial steps forward, and I think everybody involved knows it.
Is this the year Iowa, the Big Ten, is going to win a national championship, David?
I'll tell you what, if Ohio State plays like they are, nobody's staying within 20 points of them.
Yeah.
I don't see Notre Dame competing with them, especially if Jeremiah Love is going to be limited. Penn State, you know, it's going to be really interesting if Penn State goes far and Drew Aller says, you know what, never mind, I'm going to go pro. What's that mean for Bo Prabula? I think that's legitimately on the table as well. Talking to some people, he might decide to leave if they somehow win the national title. But I really do think that if Ohio State plays the best of their abilities, I said before the season, I'm going to maintain it. They are the most talented team in the country, and I think if they do what they did against Oregon, they're practically unbeatable.
I think Texas-Ohio State is the national championship game. Nothing against
with that.
Yeah, nothing against. Hey, I had Penn State in the Big Ten championship game, didn't I, Isaac? I did. And they made it there. Didn't win, but at least they were there. But
I want to give a shout-out to Cam Scadaboo, too, because what an absolute stud.
Yeah.
I really thought Arizona State was going to win that. But you talk about an all-around football player. It reminded me of Cooper DeJean in high school. Just he did everything for them. And it was really, really cool to see.
It's good we get an OABCIG reference in before we set sail. Go Falcons.
Or I can't remember what coach said it, but they said like alphabet soup high school, and I've never forgotten that.
All right. Hey, David, great work. Always good talking with you, and we look forward to our next chat.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Take care.
You bet. David Eicholt covers the Hawkeyes for 24/7 Sports. Joining us again, Mark Gronowski, the South Dakota State quarterback, will be going to Iowa. That being reported on several fronts over the last half hour or so. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up for you on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right after this.